We started Ois Yud Gimel, the Maimer on Pinyas HaTorah, that's the Hesafah to the Ois HaTorah. So let's just chash a little bit and move forward. We were learning, I'm just going to read the quickly from the beginning of Yud Gimel on page 324. HaKaris HaPshutis HaBanalias Shemuhusi HaDish Shehinois Nises Kar Chai Mesoich HaNhog HaMaisis. The simple understanding of Yiddishkeit and the simple concepts, ideas, or the simple presentation of Yiddishkeit that give life to our routine of living as Jews. Hinan holchos and smaitetos, they're falling apart. They're getting weaker and falling apart. And we learn that the problem is that those same ideas that sustained us for a long time, the Jews went with a very basic, for the most part, with the exception of certain Talmid Chachamim and great people, but for the most part, our ancestors lived with these simple, basic concepts of Yiddishkeit and learning the halachas and with an extremely simple view of what Yiddishkeit is. But Rav Kook is explaining how that's not working anymore. To a large extent it's not working. Ha'akara klolisi l'mayla mehen is a very big problem. Among other things, we spoke about this a lot last Erev Shabbos, that the world has so completely changed as far as in the secular world, even simple people in the secular world are educated and coming into contact with much deeper, more profound concepts and thoughts. And if that's happening in the non-Jewish secular world, has come of a comment in the Jewish secular world, because Jews are people who are very, very driven to understand and to think. So what's happening is that these deeper concepts that are not Jewish, deeper secular concepts in art and literature and history and so on and science and myth, all these things are on the table, are out there in the open. People are exposed to very, very sophisticated thoughts, very sophisticated concepts in what they study in school and in their secular education. And of course, Allah has come of a comma with all kinds of things with the media and technology. They're exposed to all kinds of things. And Yiddishkeit is supposed to remain with the same shallow and simple way, the version of Yiddishkeit that was satisfying to our parents and grandparents, for the most part, exceptions, but to this generation, Rav Kook was already talking about at that time, they're no longer satisfying. My father, Zolgazon Zion, told us how they weren't allowed to learn Tanakh in their yeshiva. When he was a bacher in Hungary, they weren't allowed to learn Tanakh. Tanakh was considered to be something that was totally off limits. It was the maskilish stuff. In other words, the system, the Hebraists, they were learning these things, and it was seen as the first step out of Yiddishkeit. Learning Tanakh was seen as a step out away from Yiddishkeit. My father says they used to learn in secret. They used to go, because the second you tell a bach you're not allowed to learn something, that means he wants to learn it. So they were learning Tanakh. My father said he remembers learning Tanakh, hiding. He had to hide his Navi. In a Navi, my father said, an old Navi with the taich, and he said he had to hide it. They used to talk about it, and that was they felt they were doing something really, really sneaky, really dangerous. They were learning, because they were learning, you know, Shmuel Beis. This is something really, really, you know, off the beaten track. But the reality of life that led to such, that created such an atmosphere. It's really very, very fascinating how that happened. But even at that time, there were there were young people who were trying to understand what is Yiddishkeit. And in that world that they were in, they didn't have access to, they didn't have access to the things that we do. So what they could conceive of as being something that might give them a hint of what's going on with their Yiddishkeit is Shmuel Beis, to learn some Navi. And some other Sfarim that they were trying to look at, but it was not part of the curriculum. And they can get away with it to a large extent. They were able to get away with that in the earlier years. But it was, Rav Kook is describing how it was starting to fall apart. This was already falling apart. When you have Hakara Klolis Hilamala Mehen, when the general secular way of looking at things is higher than the way that people see in their learning Torah, not that Chalila, that secular is higher than that, but that's, but in the secular world, they're exposed to all kinds of sophisticated things, and in their learning, they're not. Mibalada ein lehen koyach shimush. So Rav Kook says that in vain, are those who are trying to revive the simplistic approach and to bring it into daily life and to apply it in their way of Yiddishkeit. It's in vain. It's not working. Said neged ha'etsa ha'alyayna shamalka shal oilam. And one shouldn't cry about that or be upset about it. Because Rav Kook says, that, this is what we're up to, there's an etsa al-yayna shamalka shal oilam. There's a very, very great and deep plan that Hashem Baruch has for the world. This is all part of the plan. Ha'aymer la'oilam shi'yibonev yishtachlel b'chum yusav v'ruch niyusav. We're getting closer to Mashiach, and Hashem wants the world to be built, to be rebuilt, both physically and spiritually. To be physically rebuilt, that Bo Hashem, that the world is a much more pleasant, for the most part, the world is a much more pleasant place to live in. And as far as just the physical existence of how we're living, even a simple person now that lives in a simple apartment or a simple house, in the old days would have been looked at, the way we live would be like the biggest oisha. Can't even imagine. Sitting here on a Friday morning at 8 o'clock, learning a little Torah and sipping coffee, but this they would have looked at us like from outer space. Because the women were up all night, Thursday night. Nobody is going to hear a shir to learn, and the men at the crack of dawn to get the wood burning, to have a little bit, the children should be able to go someplace in the house where they could stand next to it and not freeze. And what it was like. So there's a hishtachlulus, there's a tremendous improvement just in the chumrius of life. In the basic physical, basic life that we have. Hashem wants that. That's part of the big plan as we get closer. V'atokim ba'ay layla. V'atitim teref levesa v'chayk b'na'ariseo. V'chayza said, v'atokim ba'ay layla. That our mother, the Shekhinah, will rise while it's still night, before Mashiach comes, while it's still galus. V'atitim teref levesa, she'll give food to her little ones. So the poverty is much, much less than it used to be. Even what they call, and I saw there are people who are very, very, very much in need more than here, but even what they call the poverty level would have been, my father says, he remembers how they were eating, that all they had to eat was they would go from one tikkun to the next tikkun. They knew exactly when it was a yard site and which shul, and they would go to a shul to go to try to find a piece of herring, or to have a kichel, something, a mezainis. That's how they lived. That's how they lived. You still have, there are Yidden that still unfortunately go like that. But it's not like it used to be to such an extent. Life has gotten a lot easier. That's part of the Eitzah, Ha'olyoina, of the world being rebuilt in Chumius, and Allah has Kama V'Kama in Ruchnius. So if there's more wealth and more sophistication in the physical world, Alachas kama v'kama. The plan is that there be more wealth and more sophistication in the spiritual world. And that's why if our grandmothers or grandfathers were sitting and listening in on such a thing, they wouldn't know what we're talking about. Even though they're smarter than us, they would know, what are you talking about? Why don't you just say Tillum and go to work? Like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Ishtachlalus. What does that mean? And what do you mean, Chumriyus? What are you talking about, Chumriyus? V'yala lamala. Hashem's plan is that the Ruchnius and the Chumriyus and the Ruchnius should go higher and higher. He says first Chumriyus, then he says Ruchnius. First the physical, and then the spiritual. Main Kemach Ein Torah. That's right. That to uplift the covenant of Klal Yisrael and Chumriyus. To uplift I'm sure I'm not the only one that when you go through old Yerushalayim, not even old Yerushalayim, when you go through Yerushalayim, that as beautiful as Yerushalayim is, you wish it would be cleaner, and that the walls would be whitewashed, and that the streets, and that the Yerushalayim, Chumriyus and the Gashmiyus, you know that the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, made a shidduch with the Matzah Chernobyl, right? At Chabad in Chernobyl, the Mechutanim, you also know the story that when the Baal HaTanya already knew from the Zitcha Magid that the Baal HaTanya knew that there was going to be a shidduch between Chernobyl and Chabad. So the Baal HaTanya went to the house of Matl Chernobyla, and Matl Chernobyla had 8 sons. All would be big, 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 big tzaddikim. There, Talmud and Square and everything from that house. And Trisk, everything was from there. And the Baal HaTanya went into the room with the Matl Chernobyla, and they went into the room where all the beds were in this one room, and they're all sleeping. The 8 sons were sleeping. And the Tanya went, and he went over to each bed, and he put his hand on each child's head. And he went from one to the next, and he came, and he put his hands on one, and he leaned down, and he became very, very, very nispal, and he said, "This is mine. This one is mine." They were little children. He said, "This one's mine." And he asked the Ramatul, "What's his name?" He says, "Yaakov Yisrael." This would be the Chakasi. Yaakov Yisrael. This was a shidduch that was made with the Mittler Rebbe's daughter, the Baal HaTanya's grandson, granddaughter Dvar Leia, married the Chakasi, Yisrael Yaakov. So he said, "This one is mine." He said, "What's his name?" He says, "Yaakov Yisrael." And the Tanya said to him, "Matot Snovla, and don't try to trick me later on, because I'll know. And don't switch him with another son. I already know who he is." That's what he told him. Because later on there was a Maisa. Not the Matl, there was a whole Indian. This whole thing with the Rebbe Baruch Meshvitz wanted to take him. You know, the Rebbe Baruch Meshvitz wanted to take the Chakas. And there's a whole din of Dvarim. And the Matl Chernobyla said, I can't. The Tanya, I can't. He already put his flag on him. I can't. And Rebbe Baruch Meshvitz, the Kedarka, was very, very, very marked. But the Baal Tanya, they had Inyanim. So it was very, very marked. It was part of the Inyan of the Machlokes over there. Is that he wanted to take away from the Baal Tanya want to take him away. So that's when he was a little boy. Then the years went by, and it was the Chasana. It wasn't so many years. They got married very, very young. It was the Chasana. And Reb Motel Chernobyl was, they were sitting at the table at the Chasana with thousands of people, and Reb Motel Chernobyl's this son was marrying the granddaughter of the Alter Rebbe, and the Matl Chernobyla made a l'chaim. He said, "L'chaim mechutin. L'chaim mechutin." And the Tanya said, "L'chaim." And he said to him, the Matl Chernobyla gave a bracha to the Baal HaTanya that the zivik should be early yafer, that the match should be beautiful, it should work out, and the Kadosh Baruch should bench them, that they should have achtoy v'chesed in gashmis and haruchnis, in all physical things and all spiritual things. He also put first Chumriyus and then Ruchnius. First gashmius, physical things, and then ruchnius. So Baal Tanya said, we said this, first gashmius and then ruchnius. So they, so Ramatul Chanabu said this beferish in the Pasuk, in this week's parasha. It says in the Pasuk, the Yaakov and Yisrael Hashem doesn't beg lechem lechol, or beg it lilbash, that you should give me food to eat, and clothing to wear, and then afterwards it says, v'hoi Hashem li lilakim, and then the Baruch Shem should be for me a God. So Ramatul said, so you see, it says in Pasuk, first you ask for lechem lechol, and beg it lilbash, and then, v'hoi Hashem li lilakim. So the Tanya said, to that, how could you compare the gashmius of Yaakov Avinu? He says lechem lechol and beg lilbash of Yaakov Avinu. He said the gashmius of Yaakov Avinu is like our ruchnius. So Moshe Chenolba said, that's the bracha that I'm giving. That's exactly what I'm giving the bracha. I wasn't saying something. The chumius and then the ruchnius, and Hashem's bracha's plan is to build the world in such a way. I mean, that's also the Seder Advan. The Mishkan is built, and then there's the Hashras Hashchina. The Beis Hamikdash is built, and the Hashras Hashchina. That's the Seder Advan. But the world is improving, and that's the big plan in Shemayim. Shibona v'yistachla b'chum yusa v'ruchni yusa. V'yala l'mala. As we get closer to Mashiach, v'yala l'mala. To rise higher and higher. To get ready for the chasana. Omnam oisan ha'akaris. Now listen carefully. Rav Kook explains. What about these simplistic hakaris of Yiddishkeit? What about the stuff that of our grandparents and great-grandparents? And as we were talking about, there's still holdouts in that Indian. What about all of that? The hakaris. What about those hakaris? Those simple hakaris. So he says, "Afapi shehinam dvarim she'in lehem kayama." Even though these things will not have a kiyum, this way of teaching Yiddishkeit will not have a kiyum. Ein lehem kayama. It's just a matter of time. There's already beginning, but ein lehem kayama. He says, "Ein zemitzad erchan ha'atzmi." It's not that chas v'shalom they don't have great value. They don't have essential value, meaning the simple teachings of Yiddishkeit. Again, if you look at the usual library of the typical yeshiva bacher or bacharet, that growing up, it's not that they don't have value. It's not that they're not holy. So the fact that there's more sophistication, it's not because the simple things of Yiddishkeit are not filled with great meaning and depth. The Teichen HaPnimi. You can learn Mesil Shasharim two different ways. You can learn Mesil Shasharim. You can learn Mesil Shasharim the way that we were taught Mesil Shasharim when we were growing up. Or you can learn Mesil Shasharim like the Bilvavi Mishkan Hefner learns, like Martel Zilber learns Mesil Shasharim. You can understand that the whole Mesil Shasharim is the 10 spheres. There are different ways to learn Mesil Shasharim. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with Mesil Shasharim. It doesn't mean we should, God forbid, put that into Seamus. The fact that we learned Mesil Shasharim when we were kids, and I remember in yeshiva, we had this little green Mesil Shasharim, and we had like 10-15 minutes where the Rebbe would call on us and we would read a few lines, and basically it was like, don't do this and do that and whatever. I don't know, not understand what he was talking about a little bit. We knew that it meant for us to try to be better and not to be bad. Anything more than that, it wasn't clear what was going on. But it was given in such a way. And you know what? And for the Rebbe, in his becoming a great person, that was a very, very effective thing. Already by the time that we were kids, that wasn't really doing it for us. So therefore, that means that Mr. Sharma is over bottle chalila. So Rav Kook is saying that there's no kiyum to the simplistic, shallow, unsophisticated understanding of Yiddishkeit. That there's nothing in Yiddishkeit that is simple, shallow, or unsophisticated. It's just a matter of of your understanding and how you dig to understand what the Mesil Sharm is. When any pasuk, any chazal, any Rashi, if a person thinks that Rashi, I'm past Rashi, but Rashi, you spend your whole life on a Rashi. And yet, what if the whole Yiddish guy is just teaching Rashi? Not teaching Rashi with a Mefarshim and Rashi, but just teaching Rashi. That's not going to work. Not that Rashi is simple. Rashi is the deepest there is. So what Rav Kook is saying here is that the reason that let's say Rashi is slipping away from the best-selling list right now is, and it doesn't seem to have a kiyum, is not because of Rashi. It's because of our old way of learning Rashi. And if you get stuck in the old way of learning Rashi, you don't feel that it could compete with the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi didn't feel that way about Rashi. He didn't look at Rashi that way. But if you're learning Rashi in the way that we're supposed to learn Rashi now, Toshin Ayin Gimel, if you learn Rashi now in such a way, so then of course Rashi is everything. Whatever's in the Sfar Makadashim, whatever's in the Zohar, everything's in Rashi. But the way of learning it must move forward, has to progress. And the old way doesn't have a key. So whereas in the old days, I'm not talking about a long, long time, last generation, although it's to say over the Rashi, and the person felt that he had, like, he had already a Dvar Torah for his daughter's Sheva Brachos. Now, the guy's online for 6 months before trying to find every website for Parshas Vayetze to see what Vart he could say for his daughter's. He wouldn't think of looking in Rashi. He's going on TorahAllTheTime.com, whatever the thing is, and to find what he could say at Dvar Torah that it should be something better for the Chasma. Rashi, you know what? Rashi Vayetze Hakim Beshev. What's that? That's not because of Chassam and Rashi. That's because of us. And therefore, Rav Kook is explaining that if there's no kiyum for these things, it's not because of the Torah itself. If there's no kiyum. If there are guys that don't want to learn Gemara, I was just having a conversation with somebody this week from the shul that the son is suffering terribly, terribly from the Gemara. He's a good boy. He wants to do the right thing, and he loves davening. He loves the Gemara. It's not because the Gemara is not the most beautiful thing in the world. It's because the Gemara is being given the same way that it was given 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, but not the same people that we were 20, 30, 50. So Reb Chaim Brisker didn't give the Gemara over the same way that it was given before him. And if not for Reb Chaim Brisker, what would it have been? Reb Chaim, they took the same Gemara, but they opened up the Gemara to that place that's deeper. And in the way of modern thinking, Reb Chaim Brisker was a very modern person, not from the way that he dressed, and not how he looked, and not in what we would consider to be nowadays modern hashkafas, but in his way of thinking. He was very, very modern in his way of thinking. Very modern. So if someone's going to try to hold on to the prehistoric way of learning Rashi, it's not gonna have a key. Ein zemit had erech on ha'atzmi, the book explains, it's not because chas v'sholem, because there's something missing in the erech ha'atzmi of Rashi, or of the Chavis Levavis, or there's something missing in the Gemara, or there's something missing in the Rambam. There's nothing. The deepest, there's nothing missing. Ki ha-toichen ha-pnimi shalem halu ram v'nisa. The toichen ha-pnimi is ram v'nisa. If you're a teacher nowadays, if you want to teach, I'm not talking about little children, but even little children, it's different. But if you want to teach older, and you don't see in front of you a room filled of people, of young adults, whatever, who are in this place of Ram Venisa, you're not going to be successful. You're not going to be successful. A daughter of mine, they have some production that's coming up in school. You know, they, you know, the girls' schools, how they could have like 3 or 4 months where they're missing stuff, and you know, to have the production. Okay, it's supposed to be to raise the morale. I could think of other ways to pick up the morale, but they didn't ask me. So, so she was a little bit disturbed by like. They have a certain chelik. It's like they're performing. There's a certain song and a dance. There's a song. So she gave my wife and I this song to look at. The words of the song that the teacher wrote. Which is hard. It's hard for me to believe. It's hard for me to believe how idiotic it is. And I don't mean to be a snob. And I'm not talking from that. I understand. They're not. This doesn't have to be, like deep and advanced. I'm not talking about that. It's insulting. It's insulting to the intelligence of a Jewish person. Besides that, hasn't it something? I don't want to tell you because I don't want to. She doesn't mean bad. I don't want. But it's insulting. I mean, I'm going to call her up to try to ask her if there's something to be done about this. If you would hear what the teichen is, you would go out of your kelim. I'm telling you. Maybe if this doesn't happen, I'll just bring it to read to you. You'll go out of your kelim. And I'm not allowing my daughter to participate in this thing. Not. Because it's not only that it's idiotic, but it's insulting. It's insulting to Jews. And I'm sure that the teacher didn't think this up. She kind of did it like all these teachers do from someplace else. It all began with some lady in some camp, in 1956 in some camp, that she, some creative person, that thought up a million different songs and things, and then they just steal them all around and they do these things. But you wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe. It's embarrassing. And it's just embarrassing. And my daughter felt that, and the other girls were talking about that. We don't want to sing this. We don't want to sing it. The theme of it is, I'll let you know a little bit, the theme of it is that it has girls that are supposed to be modern girls, and then Beis Yaakov girls. Listen to this. And the, I don't know how they're going to show this, but the modern girls are screaming out that we want our skirts to be tighter and shorter. While the Beis Yaakov girls are screaming out, longer and more tzniyazdik skirts. Shein is off. Nice. It's going to uplift our generation, yeah? Yeah, it's going to uplift. It's going to lift up the skirts from the higher and higher from our generation. But an insult to Jews, to speak of Jews in such a way. It has the modern mothers with the modern daughters. Modern mothers and modern daughters are screaming out, tighter and shorter. And the Beis Yaakov mothers and daughters are screaming out, more tzniyazdik, more tzniyazdik. And they like have the singing thing, like this tug of war going on. No. So I just don't want you to think that I'm exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. I'm assuming that you feel like I feel about this. I don't know what to do. Such a thing. I'm not going to let my daughter to be involved in such a thing. But I don't understand how a teacher is responsible for children could come up with such a thing. I could think that that's something which is inspiring. It's not just the simplicity of it. Again, I don't mean to be, it's not this, to be snobbish. It's not that it's simple. It's sick. The modern girls are screaming out, shorter and tighter, like there's some deep rotzen that they have. Shorter and tighter. This is like the battle cry of the modern mothers and daughters. Yeah. Like every girl walks out from this school without, when they get out from school, making their skirts shorter and tighter. The whole thing. So this is, you can't do this anymore. I don't know if you ever could get away with it. I don't know where such a thing comes from. But that you can't be mechanech. You cannot be mechanech a generation that is sensitive, that's deep, that wants the truth with such insults. You can't be mechanech a generation that way. The Indian of how a Jewish girl dresses is a very deep sugi in Yiddishkeit. It's a deep sugi in Yiddishkeit. It's about Chava. It's about Rachel and Leah. It's a very deep sugi in Yiddishkeit. If there are people who are having problems with that, whether you call them modern or Beis Yaakov, if there are people who have problems with that, it's not the Inyan, the way it's being presented like that, in such a way. Which is why so many girls are turned off to sneers. Which is why even when they get older, when they hear the word sneers, or they listen to some shmooz or something, they already start to get sick. It's a very deep sugi, the sugi of sneers. So Rashi is very, 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 very deep. But you can't give it over anymore in a simple way. It doesn't have a key. That's what Kook is saying. The children who are sitting in front of us now in class, they're different than the children that were sitting 100 years ago. They're different. Even the ones who are not as bright, but they're looking for something. Chai v'kaim la'ad. The toichen of Rashi, the toichen of the Mesil Zasharim, is chai v'kaim la'ad. It's deep. It's chai v'kaim la'ad. It has a kiyam. It's forever. Elamit sada heislabshus is sigu b'meshach dairos. The problem is, over the generations, these deep, deep thoughts and concepts of Yiddishkeit became enclosed and covered. Levavos u'moichos bilti avudim. And hearts and minds that were bilti avudim, that had not been processed. Ibud is like with the tefillin, with the cloth. Hadn't been worked through. So when you take that same pasuk, you take the same concept of tznius, and you put that into the mind and the heart of a person who's not worked it through, then it sounds like it's something which is very simple and silly. It could even be silly. It could turn people off. When you take the very same concept and you put it into the heart, into the mind of a person who's oizgad, who's working on himself to grow, and looks at that concept, looks at that pasuk, looks at that inyan, and sees the wealth and the beauty of it. So it's not because there's a problem with the inyan, or there's a problem with Rashi, or the Gemara, or the Rambam, or the Chovos HaLevavos. It's not a problem. But if you're going to teach Yiddishkeit nowadays just using the pshat of Rashi, and the translation of the Rambam and the Chovos HaLevavos, it's not going to work. We have to uncover the erech ha'atzmi, the true value, the real value, to the best of our abilities, in the svarim that we're learning, whether it's Gemara or whether it's Rashi, and in the children that we're teaching. To uncover the erech ha'atzmi of the children of the generation of Mashiach. The erech ha'atzmi. That's the avayda before Mashiach comes. Al-Kain, ain't lana truf acharis. Therefore, Cook says there's no other medicine, there's no other cure. Ain't lana truf acharis. There's no other cure other than increasing the light. More or. That's Rav Kook's entire existence. That's, everything is iris, iris, iris. There's no other cure. So for the millionth time, I hate to be so repetitious, but it's important that it's seeps in deep, that the inyan of screaming about the darkness, it just doesn't work anymore. They're not buying it. You know, the anti-Olam Hazeh, it just doesn't work. Even when it comes, let's say, to technology, so there's a way that a person becomes irrelevant, and I know that in myself, I acknowledge the irrelevance of speaking to younger people now without having an inkling of an awareness of what is it that these things are about. So I like making fun of the technology because it's important to try to keep things in perspective. But if I would do that with in a classroom of 9th, 10th, 11th grade, even 8th grade kids, that would probably be a big mistake. To try to keep things in perspective and how to use their iPods and how to use their iPhones, all these things, how to use it. But to make chayzik and to put down and to knack and to that Facebook is all, this is all stupid and the computer is all stupid, that would, and it's all evil and it's disgusting and you can't have any shaykhis to it. All that means is that the next time the kid's more careful that you shouldn't see it. That doesn't mean that it's going to change anything. So there have to be people now that know how to reach the kids in this way. So it's hard for me to concede on this. And it's painful for me to make this concession, really. But I understand that it's not, if you can't beat them, then join them. And it's not that, because joining implies descending and becoming silly yourself. But the avoid is how to use these things in a way that somehow they're not going away from it. They're not giving up this stuff. The kids are not getting rid of their iPods or whatever. They're just not. So the only etzah is to be megala whatever or we can. More light, more and more light, using whatever we can to be megala more light. That's all. What's the choice? That's very, very hard. It's very, very dangerous. But if not, then the Yiddishkeit that we're giving becomes irrelevant. We become irrelevant. We become relics of the past. And at best, the children will tolerate us for a certain amount of time, but they live in their own world, which they already are doing. They're not the kids that they are at home when they were their friends. They have a different language. I'm talking about from already a young age. They have a different language. When they come home, in school, they try to keep up the act a certain way. But they have there's a different language. They're living in a different world. And it moves very quickly these days. It's not like it used to be a generation gap. It's very, very, very quick. That from a few years to the next few years, it's a different world. So what's the only cure is, laharbeis es ha'ora, to increase the light of pnimius, more and more and more light of pnimius, to try to understand the language of the generation, to do our best to understand that, and to use whatever we can to increase light and to stop being so focused on the darkness and krechting and complaining about how bad everything is, how terrible everything is, because the generation doesn't see it that way. The only thing that's bad to them is getting rid of this stuff. So you could tell a kid from behind this morgan that the computer is bad, it's bad, it's bad. And he'll say, oh, I know, it's very, very dangerous. Terrible, terrible. Ma, you're right. And then when they were their friends, but so they'd start to live two lives. They live the life at home and they live a life with their friends. You know, how many kids are living different lives, multiple lives? And the parents and they can't believe it. My wife was telling me how they found, some teachers were saying that they saw Facebook, take the Facebook of some of the students. I don't know how that works, to look into somebody else's Facebook. I don't know. But that there were teachers that told my wife that they were looking into Facebooks of some girls. I don't know if that's the right thing to do. I'm not, and my wife was uncomfortable with it, and I'm not justifying it, but there's things like that they're doing, I guess, to try to help the girls. And the teachers were saying that you see some of these girls, you see girls in front of you that are walking around with the long sleeves and the long skirts and the tilum and the shuckling. And then on Facebook, there's a picture of her in a bikini sent out to the whole world. The same girl. Multiple lives. It doesn't mean that she's a faker. She's not. She believes in Islam. She wants to, but they're living multiple lives. A lot of the kids these days. Much more than it used to go. It used to be, kids always live multiple lives, but they were closer. Now there's like a huge, there could be a huge difference between the kid that you're talking to at home and the kid who's with his friends. And if parents ever have the misfortune of overhearing conversations between kids, it could be pretty shocking. Or looking in onto their Facebooks or their computer things and who they are with their friends and who they are at home. They're living multiple lives. It's wearing them down. It's hard for them. So we could spend the rest of our lives criticizing the chayshach, or we could concentrate on being marba or on increasing light. And in order to do that, you have to be able to hold your breath, which I've told many parents over the years. You have to hold your breath because there's a lot of stuff that is better not to know. And it's important to be mashgiach, to watch over the children, but a person also has to know not to watch, so not to watch everything. And to just try to give a lot of ahava, a lot of love, and a lot of warm feelings about Yiddishkeit, and a lot of Torah, and a lot of tefillah, and to believe that the Nefesh HaKis wants that, and it will seep in, and the point will come where the girl in the bikini will be deleted, and the true girl with the tail and will be modified. Maybe it won't be the sleeve so long, maybe it'll be a little bit higher. It's okay. Maybe she won't be saying tilim with such a shakul, but she'll stay, she'll still be saying every now and then some tilim, but she'll be a God-fearing, nice Jewish girl. And she won't be caught between those two worlds. But you have to hold your breath. And really, nowadays I hardly talk about chinuch anymore. I used to, in the early years, I spoke about it a lot. It's not just because my kids have gotten older. It's because I don't know anymore that there's anything else that we need to know other than what I just said. And you really have to hold your breath and to overlook a lot of stuff and to be able to be quiet and to make believe that you don't know that. Because the fact that you're smarter than the kid, maybe, and the kid sees that you caught on to him, doesn't mean he's going to be a better Jew. Just because you caught on to him doesn't mean that he's going to be a better Jew. Could be he'll be a better Jew if he thinks he didn't catch on to him. But every child is different. I'm not saying a klal. But the ikkar is to be marba or. The ikkar is to laharbeis es ha'ayra. More and more light. The families that are doing that are very, very, for the most part, are the most successful families with their children. The ones whose program consists of laharbeis es ha'ayra. I'm not suggesting that it be hefkin. That doesn't mean the kid can do whatever he wants. And there needs to be discipline. A person has to be a mensch. I'm talking more with the Yiddish guy, to be careful. That the ikkar should be laharbeis es ha'ayra. Doesn't mean you can't tell your kid to brush his teeth or something. Laharbeis es ha'ayra. To establish a great level of learning in Chochmah HaPnimis, in the Chochmah of Emunah. On all sides, in every way. Increasing the light of Pnimis. The Yovai Ha'or HaPnimi V'Yigal, and let the light of Pnimius be revealed. Vaz Yeshuvu L'Tchia Oysen HaKaris. Then Rav Kook says there'll be a Tchia Sameisa. You know what will happen? Rashi will come back to life. The old Svarm that you thought was simple, they really weren't. He says, "Va'oz yeshuva l'tchia oisun ha'akaras apshutis." Then the old, those old things that we learned, and they seem to us to be so unsophisticated and to be so, sometimes so simple and just. The truth is, they'll return to life. You know, if you learn Agadita, when we were kids and we learned the Gemara and the Rebbe was zooming through the Agadita, the non-halachic parts of the Gemara, mostly sounds like crazy stuff. Anybody here that learned them when you were growing up, sounds a lot like crazy things. In Rav Basra, Rav Barbar Chana, and many, many other places, you learn Agadita, just, I remember thinking, well, what's that about? The strange things. But when you learn the Maharal on the Agadita, no? When you learn the Maharal, when you learn the Mahasho and the Maharal, when you learn the Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Ishchai, when you start to learn what's the Ur of this Agadita, what's the light, was the Pnimius. So then you come back to the same old Hakaras. And they come back to life. Wow, that's what the Gemara was saying. I had no idea. You take the Agaritas of Rabbi Barbar Chana and Rabbi Basra and learn them with the teachings of the Gra and the teachings of Rabbi Nachman. Because both the Gra and Rabbi Nachman revealed Torah on these Agaritas. That somebody's cooking on the back of a fish, right? So what is that? A big fish, and then the fish turned over. When we were kids, we used to laugh at this stuff. And the Rebbe didn't help us. He didn't help us, he just read it fast. And he would say, sometimes maybe we would hear something like, there's a lot here. But, you know. But they'll come back to life, if Cook says. Ashakashinas Leichan. Even though they've grown old. Nos Leichan, like it says at the end of the Torah by Moshe Rabbeinu, Loi Nos Leichan. Even though they're old concepts. They're old teachings. Hinan Alulois Lahavi Mikshol Muaka. And because of that, if they're not learned properly, they could cause us to stumble and to misinterpret Yiddishkeit. To interpret Yiddishkeit as something which is small and silly. But they're going to have a tchiyah, they're going to come back to life, v'yis'alu. They're going to rise up once again. Lios devarim chayim v'kayomim. Lios devarim chayim v'kayomim. To be alive and to be forever. Chayim v'kayomim. That Rashi. We're going to look at each other that way. We're going to look at an old friend in a new way. You're married to somebody for many, many years, to see the person come back in a new way. That's the inyan of tchiyas ameisim. So the tachlis is not something different, something that always was. It's just that it's come to life. It returns to life. That was another key word in Rav Kook's vocabulary, iris and tchiyah, return to life. To return to life means that everything is holy. It has to return to life. V'yis'al des dvarim chayim v'kayom. V'yishlo tu b'poil. And these old teachings that we thought were so simple and whatever, that these old teachings will be shoylet, will rule, will take over. B'poil, l'maisa. Al Am Nivra, and a nation that's been created again, that's risen from the grave. Al Am Nivra v'dor chai, and a generation that is alive. We're already seeing that in our generation. An Am Nivra and a dor chai. If you have good eyes, you could see that this is a generation that's an Am Nivra v'dor chai with all of the problems. It's an Am Nivra and a dor chai. It's a Lebedeke generation. And the Lebedeke generation that's coming back to life wants to see the Torah and the Yiddishkeit come back to life. And we have to be careful to join the generation, the new generation in that. I mean, there are those of you here that are part of that new generation, and I'm not saying that anybody here is so beyond that. But still, as I said, nowadays, even if you're 10 years apart, it's already different. It doesn't have to be a generation. It doesn't have to be 40 years. Even if you're 40 weeks now, 40 months, it's already a different generation. So we have to return to life together with the new generation. The new generation is looking for life. And if we don't provide them with that, they'll look for it someplace else. That's simple. If we don't provide them with that life in their Yiddishkeit, in the Avodas Hashem, then they'll go look for it. There are other places that they could find. They'll go look for it. And they'll continue to look at us as outdated, irrelevant antiques. And that our Yiddishkeit, they come the yeshiva and they hear in the morning, it's just some outdated old stuff that I don't know, it has nothing to do with me. It's not part of my life, of that Dor Chai that I'm in. They have to feel that we're in the same generation as they are. And that doesn't mean to dress like them or to talk like them and to go down and to become silly. Although there's an Indian in Kedusha of that also, but that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what Rav Kook is talking about. It's to be Megala the Or of Yiddishkeit in a way that they'll be able to appreciate it and to understand it. No, Hashem's Baruch should help us that we should be good teachers and good students.